We are wrapping up our series this Sunday of The End of Me. Beginning next Sunday, now that November is here, we are going to begin a new series called Shadows. I am encouraging you, inviting you back on the Welcome Center, the big table in the lobby. We have a whole bunch of these cards. These are our invitation cards for you to hand out to your friends and your family. And we invite you to come to Gilead Friends Church beginning in November. On the back is some of our information. It's called Shadows, and it's going to be an entire series on the book of 1 Peter. This is the disciple who was very gung-ho about Jesus. He was one of the first disciples to proclaim Jesus. You are the Son of God. You are the Messiah. He's also the disciple who, man, out of fear, out of whatever desperation, he actually denied even knowing this guy when Jesus was arrested. And then he began, and he just exploded the church in growth. And so then he wrote a couple letters, and we're going to look at the first one beginning in November, and it's going to touch on suffering. One of the things that Westerners are not so good at, I would say, and this is my personal opinion, you may agree with it or not, but we're not very good at suffering. We, as Westerners, we kind of think, well, you know, if something's bad, we have to hide it inside. Just hide it. Pretend everything's fine. When actually, when you read books like 1 Peter, when you read about what they went through, the expression of suffering, why, and not to hold it in. And so we want to go through the month of November exploring that and uncovering how we can suffer, because if you are alive, there's a good chance that you will go through some hard times. You will go through what you may call suffering or hardships. And so how do we navigate that as followers of Jesus? And the answer is not just bottle it in. So that's in November. The last kind of housekeeping that I want to share with you is that tonight youth group is happening from 4 to 5:30 in the bus garage behind the Christian school across from the fairgrounds. So 6th grade all the way through 12th grade, that is where youth group will be today. All right, so I'm glad that you guys have joined me up front. This is going to be a different kind of message because it's going to be very interactive. I'm going to be asking a lot of questions, and I am hoping and expecting that you will respond. There's probably no wrong answers unless you give a wrong answer, and then I'm going to point it out and say you're wrong. But have no fear. Have no fear in interacting and answering questions. So I'll give you a real easy one. What are these? What are these? Weights. Weights. What do you do with them? You exercise, and what do they do? If you exercise with these weights, what will happen? You will get stronger. So this is what I need. We're going to exercise a little bit. So if we have some brave people who are willing to join me up here, we're going to exercise. Can we play some exercise music for them to get the juices flowing? Come on up here, guys. We've got weights here. Come up to this platform. Come on up.
Raindrops rolling off my brim. Street lights got the pavement glistening. Touchdown, I fall into your arms. Right where I belong, your everlasting arms. And where would I be without you?
Oh, lift them up.
I'll be packing my bags when I need to stay. I'll be chasing every breeze that blows my way. I'll be building my kingdom just to watch it fade away. It's true, that's me without you.
All right, those who don't have weight, come on up here, let's do some jumping jacks. Maybe some jumping jacks. Maybe some push-ups. Yeah, lift those weights, do some push-ups, do some jumping jacks. Jumping jacks. Got it. Very good. Great. Maybe stretch a little bit. You gotta be careful. Those things are pretty heavy. All right. Thank you very much. Let's cut the exercise music. Thank you very much. You can put these down and have a seat. Thank you very much. Very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Well done. Well done. Woo! Anybody else get a workout?
And you're just working there, and you're just like, man, your muscles, you feel your arms. I mean, some of these things, this is like 10 pounds. This is like 10 pounds. And you lift it. Do you guys feel it? Your arms? I'm asking, do you feel it? I mean, is your heart rate going? I mean, those of you who are up here, your heart's going. Everybody else that was watching, is your heart going? Your heart's feeling? Some of you are like, yeah, I'm transferring. I just feel it. I feel it. Your arms feel stronger. If you weren't lifting weights up here, if you weren't exercising, are your muscles stronger? Why not? You didn't do the work. Why is it that watching them, now I understand watching kids do something, especially as adults, you can kind of transfer yourself into that experience, especially if they're in front of people, like at a spelling bee. And I mean, how many of you watch your kid or your grandkid at a spelling bee and you're like, oh, you're just nervous out of your gourd for them. But as we're watching these people lift weights, and I'll just do it for a while. This is like 5 pounds. Oh man. Feel the burn. We'll be here for a while. Okay, I'm feeling a little bit. My heart rate's going up. I'm feeling a little flush. The 5 pounds. Whew. Did you feel that? When you exercise and you work out and you know your arms just feel like noodles. Why is it that when you watch someone exercise, you don't get the benefits? Why not? You watch them, and they're working their muscles, but that's not exactly how it works. Now, I shared this talk with the middle school and high school students at Gilead Christian School this past week. I wonder, those of you who actually do exercise, how many repetitions of a certain exercise, whether it's with a medicine ball or lifting weights, how many repetitions does it take before you begin to build muscle? Does anyone know? How many times it takes to lift weights? I asked our strength and conditioning coach, our teacher here, and he's like, what do I say? I don't know. Do I just make it up? Well, actually, it's a process called protein synthesis. How many of you have ever heard of protein synthesis? It is this process of where you basically beat up your muscles and the cells within you, and then they reform and they get stronger. And for guys and girls, you know, your arms get bigger and you get sweaty and you get smelly and you get tired. Actually, what happens, it's almost an instantaneous change, that process of protein synthesis, within a few hours of the exercise, but you won't actually see a change or a difference for a number of weeks after you do that exercise. What do you have to do to build muscle? What do you as a person have to do to build muscle? You have to lift the weights to build your muscles, to make sure that your muscles are growing. You have to do the work. We're going to read a passage from a guy named James, brother of Jesus. Talk about what kind of pressure that had to have been for him. He writes this letter to these followers of Jesus, his brother. And he writes this. Will you stand with me as we read? The words are going to be on the screen behind me. James chapter 2, beginning in verse 14. This is what he writes and how we can compare that to lifting weights. He says this. If you can't read it, I'll read it out loud. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, What good is it? He continues, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Let's pray. Father, as we explore this text that can be very controversial and in our faith, I pray that your Spirit would move among us, that you would keep fresh before us the idea of lifting weights and how we can make the faith our own. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So just as we can't grow strong muscles without exercising, growing spiritually is hard without exercising our faith. Or as I like to put it, putting feet to your faith. What this does not mean, what James is not saying, is that you have to earn Jesus' forgiveness. You have to earn your salvation. That's not what James is talking about at all. In fact, true faith, when we read in the Bible about words like faith or belief, that word believe or faith is an action word. It is a word that means you do something in response to. For example, here's an example for the kids. Imagine that you are waking up and you smell something cooking and it smells amazing. Maybe it's bacon and eggs. Maybe it's the good old Cap'n Crunch with milk being poured over it. Whatever it is, you smell some good breakfast and you believe that it's going to taste good. And so what happens? It makes you feel good. Your behavior is in response to that belief. Now, what happens if you wake up and the breakfast does not smell good? You believe it's not going to be good, and so your behavior changes. Another way to put it that I asked the middle school and the high schoolers, for many of our students, you have faith. You believe that something or someone will wake you up in the morning, right? Those of you who have to get up in the morning and go to work or go to school, what wakes you up in the morning? An alarm clock. What else? Your mom? Yeah, a coyote. Maybe you're the kind of person that your body just wakes itself up. You don't have to set an alarm. It just happens. But for the rest of us, maybe it's the smell of coffee. It's your spouse. It's the TV. Something wakes you up, and you have become conditioned by it. You know, you believe, you have faith. Let's just say, for example, you have faith your alarm clock is going to wake you up. And so you behave accordingly, right? You have a certain set of things that you do before you go to bed because you believe that that alarm clock is going to wake you up. What happens if you have an alarm clock run by batteries that we use to run the wireless microphone? And you begin to wonder, and you begin to believe or have faith that, man, maybe that alarm clock is not going to wake me up. Will that change your behavior? Will you do something differently because of this belief? Probably. The same is true in what James is talking about and the writers in the Bible about faith and belief. Because we believe in Jesus, because we believe that He is the only begotten Son of God, because we believe that He is the Savior of humanity, and we believe that He was crucified on the cross, and 3 days later He overcame death by the power of God through His Spirit. Because of that belief, action must follow. There is a response. Are you following me? What James is talking about is the faith that is dead is the statement of, yeah, I believe it, but you don't do anything about it. It's the kind of people who are the sponges where you just receive information and you hear it and you say, yeah, that's good information. Yeah, that's great, but nothing changes about your life. There are no deeds. There's no action. There's no response. It's like you think, oh man, yeah, the alarm's not going to go off, but you know what? It'll wake me up. You don't change anything. That is what James is trying to talk about here with the faith without actions. It's an action word. So, my next question. What excuses do people give for not exercising? And we'll say people, but we'll know what your excuse is. So what excuses do people give for not exercising? Lack of time. Why else do people not exercise? I'm too tired. Yeah. It's not worth it. Okay. I like my flab. This is how God created me. You know, I've heard that excuse. Why else? Yeah, why else don't people exercise? They like to sleep in. How about it's hard? It might hurt. Has anyone done that? I don't want my arms to feel like noodles. I don't want to smell like a truck stop. No offense to people who drive trucks and go to truck stops, but I don't want to smell like that. Right? We all have excuses. The similarities between the excuses for physical exercise and spiritual exercise are fascinating. It's too hard. I don't have time. I'm too busy. I might get hurt. I don't know if the benefits are there. I like the way I am. And sure, people intend to exercise. Right? We may even get inspired by people. When you see people like Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sylvester Stallone, I mean, those are kind of old examples because they're all like Botox and plastic. But we can get inspired by people. We look at Olympians and we say, oh, if I could do that, if I could look like that, if I could have that kind of health, and we might have all these intentions of wanting to do it. We could look at spiritual giants and say, oh man, if I could speak like that, if I could reach people like that, if I could pray like that, oh, it'd be fantastic. The similarities are fascinating. But often, the barrier with spiritual exercise and physical exercise is lack of time, lack of motivation, and fear. What happens if I dig into my Bible and it raises more questions that I don't want to answer? What if I try to share my faith with someone and they ridicule me? Or they ask a question that I don't know the answer to and, oh, I might look silly. When we exercise, when we're lifting weights, the reality is, there's a good chance you're going to have some temporary pain. I remember the last time I was seriously lifting weights in seventh grade. It hurt. It was the thing where the guy knew what he was doing and he wanted you to max out to see what was the greatest amount of weight you could lift. And for a lot of us sixth, seventh graders, it was the bar and no weights on it. And you'd try to get just one, and then, oh, it hurt, it burned. And you woke up the next day and you thought somebody just pounded you in the arm. You're like, what good is this? We might have temporary pain. We might have a shortness of breath. Our arms and our chest, if you do the leg press, they hurt. And even though we may believe, you know what, our bodies are going to grow in the long run, we may say, you know what, it's just not worth it. How many of us toy with that in our spiritual growth? That we know, if I get into this group, if I challenge myself, if I pray every day, if I do all of these things, but is it worth it? Maybe I'm just happy the way I am. Maybe we do get inspired by others. We hear some feel-good story on the news, and they inspire us. We're with a church full of people, and we're inspired by those who can get up and share with singing and playing the instruments and sharing how they go into the prison ministry or they're going to go to a foreign country. And that inspires us. We're like, wow, that's fantastic. And that as a community, that gives us hope and that inspires us. But we shouldn't rely on that to grow our muscles. Are you with me? We shouldn't rely on others to grow our spiritual muscles. James is saying this is something that we have to do. What good would it be if we take all of this information that we heard on a Sunday morning in Sunday school class and life groups when we talk with others and we walk by on a street and we see someone falling in a hole and we walk by and we're like, okay, let's see, that's what I do. Ah, I will pray for you and leave. James says, what good? What good is that? So here's the thing. We need to make our faith our own. And as kids who are growing up and you're learning, and because of this community, you're hearing the stories in Little Gilead and hopefully in your homes. And as you grow older and become part of the teenage crowd in middle school and high school and on into adulthood, it comes to the point where you need to begin to realize what you believe and not simply rely on mom and dad's faith or pastor's faith or the church's faith. So you have to begin to ask yourselves quite seriously, what do I believe about God? What do I believe? I've heard these stories. I have this experience. Now what do I believe about it? What do you believe about Jesus? What do you believe about the Bible as far as authoritative? Is it really inspired by God? What do you believe about the Holy Spirit and His work in the world? What do you believe about the church? What is its role? See, we can grow up in church and we can be told, but there has to come a time where you make it your own. The scary part might be that what you believe doesn't exactly line up with what mom and dad believe or grandma and grandpa. And so you might be forced to have those conversations. But you're working it out. You're growing these spiritual muscles. It can't be done for you. So as we close today, we're wrapping up this series of The End of Me. And if you're in a life group, you'll be seeing a video of another sports player. What do you believe? These life groups, these Sunday school groups, these smaller groups that we have going on right now, they're designed for us to have a safe place to ask these questions, to grow. One of the great passages that I think of when I talk about and study these words of James is when Jesus is asking his disciples, what are the crowds saying about me? What are you hearing? And the disciples, you know, they just say, hey, this is what we hear. You're a prophet, the Elijah, you hear all these things. And then Jesus does not say, well, that's great. I'm glad the community is all in agreement. No, he turns to them and says, okay, now what about you? Who do you say that I am? Maybe for some of us here, you've never really contemplated what you believe. Maybe you've simply co-opted another person's faith. You've watched someone else do the heavy lifting, and you're like, yeah, that's great. I'm with you there. You're kind of tagging along, and now it comes to the point where you're like, wow, what do I believe about these things? How do I navigate this? Especially as parents of kids, wow, how am I going to navigate this as I want to bring up the next generation of people who believe Jesus to be the Son of God, the Savior of the world? Will you stand with me as we close? We have a word of prayer and then we will dismiss. Thank you so much for humoring us this day. It was a lot of fun with singing. with kids being involved, may this be a reoccurring thing, not here in church just, but in your home. How can you help bring along the next generation? Say, what do you think? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. And I thank you for the challenging words of James, where he says, faith without works is dead, because we have to understand faith is an action word. We cannot simply say things and then just watch everyone else do it. God, may your Spirit continue to work on our hearts and encourage us, show us where we can go with our feet, like the Romans passage that we heard this morning. How beautiful are those feet who take the good news. Father, may we never come under the guilt of we have to do things to make you happy. We have to do things to earn salvation. Will you help us understand that we do things because of who you are? Because of what you have done. And it is so wonderful. It is so amazing that it just gets to the point where we can't help but respond in this way. Thank you for our time in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being here. We will see you next week as we look at shadows. Have a great and blessed